Welcome to the first day of the public hearing on the strategic plan and the budget of the department being tabled today. And the remainder of today and tomorrow being focused on the targets being met on the bucket eradication. I trust everyone has got the program in front of them. What we will be doing this morning is we will first have the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry, Minister Hendricks, and I think they will tell us who will follow other than the DG, if there are anyone else, which will then take us into discussion on the tabling of the budget and the strategic plan. And thereafter, we will go into the different provinces in talking about the bucket eradication and establish whether we are on course with regards to meeting the target that has been set by the President for December 2007. A range of different people have been invited to do those presentations, from the MECs to community people to certain municipalities, and that should take us up till tomorrow. So welcome everyone. Let me apologize for not saying all of your names, but everyone that is here, welcome to these 2 days. We trust that today and tomorrow the country will be informed about water, sanitation, and forestry, and what is in store for this year and at the beginning of next year when the budget year ends. I am not going to take any more of the time except to say that my name is Connie September and I am the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and I will not be able to take any more time but to hand over to the Minister, and I'm sure that the Minister or the DG will introduce the team that is here. Thank you very much, Dwarf, also for bringing everyone, almost everyone, to today's session. And I now invite the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry to address us. Thank you.
Lady Chairperson, honorable members of Parliament, members of the media, ladies and gentlemen. The DG will introduce the rest of the team when he makes a specific presentation on the threat plan. I will just make an overall remark out what our strategic trust is the next MPS. And indeed, so I would like to start with what the President said to the nation when he spoke in the State of the Nation address on the 9th of February this year, where he reminded all of us of the number of commitments that we as government have made since 2004, which included, amongst others, expanded access to services such as water, sanitation, and electricity. At that time, the President also referred to the UNDP report to the effect that South Africa has demonstrated how the human rights water can serve as a mechanism for empowerment and a guide to policy, and that rights-based water reform has enabled it to expand access and overcome the legacy of racial inequality in services from apartheid. And while the President acknowledged this great achievement made in the provision of water and sanitation, noting that South Africa had already achieved the Millennium Development Goal in respect of basic water supply, with the improvement of access from 59% 1994 to 86%, and that according to the Women's Program, South Africa is one of the few countries that spend less on military budget than on water and sanitation. Here at the same time, acknowledge that we still have about 8 million people without potable water and many more without electricity and sanitation. The strategic plan that we are discussing today is aimed at helping us to achieve these remaining challenges. And we as the department welcome the input that will be coming and contributions from the portfolio committee, Waterfield and Forestry, from the provincial government, input that will be made from municipalities, civil society and other entities that will be presenting to the public over the next few days. As a department, we have noted concerns previously raised by the portfolio committee around human resources and around the qualified audit of the department. And we are obviously taking the necessary steps to address and improve in these areas. But I think it is important to note that it is not always possible for such issues to be resolved immediately, as they require significant change in the way of working. And in the case of finance section, where we have had problems, even there require additional skills. The threat plan outlines many of these areas that will be addressed by the department and the improvements that we are trying to make in the administration of the department. We hope that the hearings over the next few days and the focus of the portfolio committee is not exclusively on these challenges, as this would negate the good work of the department and the important programs that we will be taking forward over the next 2 years. As a department, we have had a long history of excellent and innovative service delivery, which we believe has made a real difference in the lives of ordinary people and in improving the standards of living of millions of people who now have access to water and sanitation. In our efforts to improve the running of the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, we cannot lose sight of the ultimate goal, the reason why we need an effective draft, which is improved delivery by the department in order to roll back the practice of poverty and take a better life for our people. In December last year, I identified critical areas for the department to focus on. And in order to prioritize these areas of work in the department, I formalized them into what I call flagship projects. These projects include both internal and external areas of work. And while the threat plan itself does not isolate these flagship projects, the projects are covered in the content of the threat plan. I will speak more on these flagship projects when I deliver my budget vote in the middle of this month. If you look at the threat plan itself, in my introductory statement, I said that the department is in the process of substantial restructuring and transformation, a process which we all know started way back in 1994. The rationale being that there are critical challenges of non-alignment, unclear mandates, duplication, non-integrating institutions and very costly governance and resources. It is the intention of the department to transfer most of its implementation functions to more appropriate levels of governance, while it remains focused on its role as policy, development, regulator and sector leader, and also strengthening the oversight and monitoring role. This requires a shift by the department away from an operational focus towards more multidisciplinary regulation function, which on its own will require substantial reprioritization of resources. Similarly, the regulatory capacity will need to be substantially improved to enable the department to develop, implement, and enforce the new regulatory framework. Through this restructuring process, we find ourselves as a smaller, more nimble department that I believe will have more focus and be able to achieve better leadership in the water and forest sector. What is critical for us as a department in the coming months start developing a coherent picture of what our end state should be, so that we can move towards a clearly defined goal. It is a priority for me to finalize our restructuring during this period, which will bring an end to a process that started in 1995 when the department absorbed the former homeland operations and at the time was said to have 33,000 employees, people in its employ. The recent drought has highlighted the very real problems that South Africa faces as a water scarce country. It increases the numbers of people being provided with water services, increases demand for water due to economic growth. Our water needs are growing. It is therefore necessary for us to plan properly, and the department has good capabilities in monitoring the water levels, up-to-date information available on dam levels, and other hydrological information. We are also cooperating with global institutions using advanced technologies to further improve our collection analysis and dissemination of water-related geo-information. And armed with that information, my department is approaching water availability from a different angle, from a number of different angles. Firstly, by protecting our water resources through Working for Water, the River Health Program, and other important initiatives, we are able to better utilize these water resources. Secondly, we are actively encouraging water demand management and water conservation. You would have noticed our campaign of creating awareness around the need to conserve water. During the water conservation and demand management in Durban, which was held during Water Week, these issues were discussed in detail, and a number of issues were raised on what measures can be taken to conserve water. The measures we are taking include working with municipalities, launching publications, closing awards, improving data collection, regulations, and promoting water efficient technologies. The third part of our approach to water availability is managing existing and constructing new water infrastructure. From the stress plan, you can see that a significant part of our budget increase over the MTS cater for this increase in infrastructure, but also to look at maintenance of existing infrastructure. Our infrastructure projects are outlined in Chapter 7 of the stress plan document. Obviously, the major focus of my department at the present moment is to ensure the delivery of water transportation to households, schools, and clinics, with the responsibility of provision of water transportation to schools and clinics only recently being given to the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. There are a number of very ambitious targets that we are working towards, clearly stated in the stress plan, and we intend to meet all these targets at the time indicated. The significant budget increases for water sanitation over the medium term will contribute towards achieving this target. We look at Chapter 6 of the stress plan, and I'm confident personally that the department is working with it. Partners with other government departments that we are geared up sufficient to meet this target. Then the allocation. Honorable members would know that much of this delivery that we're talking about is through local government. We are pleased and we have noted that local government itself has committed itself to meeting this target. This position was confirmed by SALGA at their annual conference, general conference that was held last week, where a resolution was passed and adopted committing local government to meeting the budget eradication target as well as meeting the target of eradicating water supply and general sanitation backlog in 2008 and 2010 respectively. Coming on to forestry, I will touch very briefly on forestry. There has been a view that forestry does not receive sufficient attention in the department. This perception may have been created because was previously a decision for the government to move out of owning and planting commercial forests and for the private sector and the communities to take over this function. As much as the work of the forestry unit in the department previously involved the management and operation of forests, it has required a shift in our approach. We have given forestry a high profile, consolidating all those units under a one division, a GDC, appointed to drive forestry moving forward. I will detail those plans, position, strategy around forestry when I speak for my project. In conclusion, Chairperson, while the media often do not give great attention to the work of the department, we believe that the policies that the department has been implementing have had a significant impact on the lives of our citizens. Now, the threat plan is a good document that in a few pages provides an overview of the department. I believe it succinctly captures the program of the department over the next year, and while there may be areas for improvement, the document is a marked improvement over the previous years and highlights the commitment of the department to improve performance, particularly if you look at the areas of corporate governance. The Director General and CBG Corporate Services Acting Chief Financial Officer will take you through the details of the draft plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. I will hand over to the Director General, Mr. Jabu Sindani, immediately.
Thank you very much, Chair, the Honorable Minister, Mr. Hendrick, the Honorable Members of Parliament present here, the various political representatives from the provinces, local governments, and the leadership from the various civil society organizations, including the media. Let me kick off by introducing a number of the people who are available here as a resource for more information later. But allow me just to introduce the Deputy Director General. Sitting on my right here is Ms. Gale, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for corporate services. On the second row, on my left, is Advocate Matshiba, who is the Chief Operating Officer. Sitting right behind me, to my left, is Ms. Harrison Tinas, who is the Acting Deputy Director General responsible for Policy and Regulation. And sitting right behind me is Dr. Rager, responsible for, he's a DDG, responsible for the National Water Resource Infrastructure. And further on behind the two gentlemen is Dr. Rampedi, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for Forestry. Sitting next to Dr. Rampedi is Ms. Tane Gambata, who is the Deputy Director General responsible for Regions. And next to Tanega is Mr. Trevor Malman, who is the Acting Chief Finance Officer. Thank you very much. The presentation will be divided into three parts. I will make the input on the business of the department. Corporate services will then top up with the human resource development part, and the acting CFO will close up with input on the budget. I will just kick off with an overview and later make specific reference to Program 2, which is the water resource management. Then I will talk a little bit about the water services and make reference to some aspects of forestry, make some some reference to international affairs, and then of course, as I indicated, this is the corporate services will deal with administration, and Mr. Palmer will deal with the budget. And I will not be, for none of us, will be focusing on the strategic plan page by page, which is by issue. We highlighted several areas. Now, the entirety of the work of the department would not fit into the strategic planning document. Therefore, during question time, we will be able to top up whatever information may not necessarily be in the strategic plan. But during discussion time as well, we will top up the presentations, because in their nature, and given the time factor that we have, within an hour, we will try and give you some highlights. Now, the strategic plan covers the medium-term expenditure framework period of 2007-08 financial year up to 2009 and 2010 financial year. In all our work, gender equality and equity is at the center. In other words, whatever we do, read in there gender equality and equity, and where it's not clear, we will take questions later on. And the purpose of this strategic plan is to ensure that all DWARF staff and the public entities that report to DWARF have a common point of reference. In other words, we have a common material to which we all take off from. So the plan necessarily covers therefore the areas that I've mentioned earlier on. And when we talk about water resources, I will also talk a little bit about the establishment of the agency specifically after the infrastructure. One of our primary functions is to support and strengthen the capacity of municipalities, and primarily to meet water and sanitation targets, but even more than that. So our role includes ensuring that the environment we create for municipalities is the one that enables them to carry out their constitutional and legislative mandates. But we also work with municipalities, assisting them in the planning, ensuring that operations and maintenance of the infrastructure is carried out in order to ensure that water services are provided in a sustainable way. But we also play another role apart from supporting municipalities. We also play the role of setting standards and being a regulator. Therefore, we continuously ensure that the standards that of facility delivery coming from municipalities are adhered to. The provision of water resources primarily has been a single facility focus. In other words, dams were built in order to ensure that we support agriculture. But we've shifted from that, ensure that our water resources actually play a much more wider role. Economic development, yes, but also these are now multi-purpose facilities where we also look at using the same facility not only to support economic growth, but also to ensure that the water basic services are met. We also, given the initial focus that water facilities were promoted and funded in order to support economic growth, we have had to correct the imbalances of the past. And part of what has happened in the past was that water allocation was skewed towards a minority community. And now we work together with the Land Affairs and Department of Agriculture to ensure that water resources is distributed much more equitably. Forestry is also one of those areas which have been exclusively an exclusive participation of one section of our community, and therefore we have a charter that seeks to break that down and ensure that a forestry activity accessible, the forestry industry, etc., is accessible to everyone. We do all this within the context of the State of the Nation Address, and of course with a supporting program of FASFISA. One of the ways of ensuring that the water resource facilities that we build serve more than just the economic growth was to ensure that we bring in the representatives of communities in the form of provincial and local government. So right from the planning, for instance, of the Duop Dam that I will refer to later, and we drew lessons from our work, previous work, including the work that we're carrying out here in the Western Cape, building the fair water. Then we have sought to involve more provincial and local government structures from the planning phase up to the implementation phase. In water resource management, therefore, few of the projects which we seek to highlight, one of them is the building of the Duop Dam, which the minister launched. It was a short training event on the 19th of March during the Water Week. That dam will cater for not only the mining industry that's going to take place there, but it will also cater for 800,000 communities which are residing in the Kukuni district municipal area. We also have other infrastructure projects like the building of the Landore distribution works, the building of the Kitu regional water supply scheme, including the raising of the Hazelmere dam. This year, we will be commissioning water from the Bear Water project. And of course, we also have a very successful program in the form of Working for Water in ensuring that our water resources are protected. I had earlier on made reference to the establishment of the infrastructure agency. We have established the National Water Resource Infrastructure Branch, which is led by Dr. Rager. But that branch, later on, will grow and incorporate the activities of the CCTA in order to form an agency. That legislation will be introduced this year. We also work with various public entities. A number of them came before the portfolio committee, I think, in the last 10 days or so. We want to have a much closer working relationship and ensure that there's proper governance within those structures. But we also, apart from providing leadership, is that we all operate within the same mandate of the department. We also want to ensure that there's a much closer working relationship between those public entities of the department and local government in particular, including, of course, provincial government. We are also establishing the catchment management agency, and we are also promoting a higher involvement of provincial and local government. With regards to water services, the primary focus is on meeting the target, as the minister has indicated. And because we do this through local government, part of what we have to do within our own department, working with the PDSA, we created a small structure, a small facility called Sierra Madre. We are taking from this acceleration tool that the Development Bank of Northern Africa has, in order to ensure that from our side as Department of Water Affairs, we have to ensure that we promote the acceleration of meeting the targets. For instance, there are obstacles that have been identified in trying to meet the norms and standards. Part of that unit will be to see how we can accelerate the leapfrog certain processes without compromising the norms and standards. Cabinet Lekosa has recently given to us the responsibility to be much more hands-on. So much as we are, in one sense, moving away from being hands-on because we are transferring certain functions to the appropriate levels, as the minister has said. On the other hand, we also have the responsibilities of ensuring that for instance, targets are met, and therefore, cabinet reports are said, so it should be much more hands-on. So we will be using some of the principles of project consolidate and working closely with the Department of Provincial and Local Government, and of course, working with FARUGA too. Now, a number of departments have had to submit their five-year plans on how they are willing to support local government. We've done that, provided that to the Department of Provincial and Local Government. Another area which we would like to maintain a high standard in is to continuously support local government to ensure the high quality of drinking water. We are also continuously working with municipalities to ensure that much as we gun for new infrastructure so that we can meet the increasing demand on water and sanitation, but we also ensure that in the planning, operation, and maintenance of existing infrastructure continues. I've already indicated that we do not hope to be doing all this by ourselves, so part of what we certainly do, we think it is important that we promote a better collaboration and better working relationship between water boards and municipalities, because there is certain expertise which is residing within water boards which we think municipalities can take full advantage of. Later on, I'll make reference to drinking water quality. And of course, we certainly promote, we think we do have provincial departments of local government that are looking after local government, and therefore we work closely with them together with local government here itself. But we also think that there are other provincial departments which can come even much more helpful. For instance, provincial departments of health, part of their area of responsibility is drinking water quality. We think a closer collaboration between themselves, municipalities, and water boards will actually give us a much higher value in this area. And of course, we continuously promote the collaboration with our lifelong partners in Salva. With regard to forestry, I think the main thrust of or the main tool which we will be utilizing in order to promote access communities that have been previously excluded. The minister is about to launch a forestry charter, which will look at management of the sector, ownership in the sector, skills in the sector, for both small businesses, but also to ensure that there is participation in large businesses as well. So we will also be ensuring that more money goes into research and development to ensure that one of the main components of this tool in forestry enterprise development takes off quite effectively. The program of afforestation, we hope to accelerate it this year, and therefore we do intend to process 15,000 hectares of forest license applications to ensure that we reach a 10,000 hectare per annum by small growers, small and medium growers. We are also looking towards fast-tracking the transfer of the category B and C plantations, and the largest of those, which we hope to complete this financial year, are the plantations of Manzengwenya and Mbazwa. We may bring in Injaka too, depending on the finalization of the land claim by the Regional Land Claims Commissioner. I think I would like to go to the last slide now. I've been talking about the activities that we undertake within the country, but we are also involved in several international activities, starting with activities within SADC, and these are both in activities of water and forestry. But the honorable members may also be aware that we also do share a number of rivers with our neighboring countries, Mozambique, Swaziland, Botswana, Namibia, and so on. And because we share the water, we have created structures through which we manage that water so that we minimize any potential conflict that may arise on in the area of the flows of water from one country to another. We are also participating in post-conflict reconstruction programs, which are being led by the Department of Foreign Affairs. And one area where we have just sent a fact-finding mission was the DRC. We also participate in the various NEPA structures, including some international forums, such as the World Water Forum and the UN Forum on Forestry. At this stage, I will invite DDG Corporate Strategy to give us a presentation on corporate strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDG. Good morning, honorable members. I will be presenting on administration, that is program one, and I will be starting the capacity of the department to deliver the strategic objectives. Chairperson, I have divided the capacity scenario in terms of two interventions, that is the short-term intervention. We have already sourced financial specialists from the Office of the Accountant General, and we intend to continue with this. We've got three financial specialists on board. Intensive program, 70 finance interns. We have already started employing 70 interns. They started yesterday. We are also looking at the Japan placement program, 56 technical specialists on board, to bring them on board. And these specialists will be focusing on resource planning, operations and maintenance, water quality, and we also have hydrologists and geohydrologists on board. We also intend to fill 50% of the vacancies for this current financial year. In terms of the medium-term interventions, we have the Learning Academy on board. Already we have 30 training scientists, 14 forestry scientists, 17 training engineering technicians. We have already started. They started on the 1st of April 2007. We also intend to pursue the exchange program in terms of our bilateral agreement. In terms of building internal capacity, we intend to focus on the following areas: financial management for senior managers, financial skills for finance officials, management skills for SMS, performance management for senior managers, monitoring and evaluation, and technical training. The minister has spoken about the restructuring program, and this process will entail two components. There are two components to this process. The first one is institutional realignment. This entails the following areas. We have to map historical development of water resources and services. We have to analyze the relevance and viability of the legislative framework. We have to assess capacity of drug institutions to implement their mandate. And we will be focusing firstly on water boards, water users association, and CNAs. We also have to identify barriers to institutional reform, assess the extent of alignment of institutions to drug mandate, assess the extent of drug institutions, alignment of drug institutions to government structures such as provinces and local governments. The second component, purchasing organizational realignment. In this one, we are going to be focusing on comprehensive organizational review of structural design, systems, and culture of the department. We have to focus on reorientation of drugs to meet government objectives. The third element, purchasing around the strategic trust of the education program, is improving the performance of drugs. And the focus areas here is the application of normative performance standards, particularly for the SMS level. We also are gearing ourselves to achieve full compliance in terms of the performance management and development system of government. We also intend to engender the culture of performance. We are also going to do this through training and development interventions, through consultation with line management. The third element, certainly, is the issue of women. Around this area, we intend to organize, establish organization of women within the water and the forestry sectors, and the gender person in the department is working around this issue. We already have developed a strategic framework for gender equality and women empowerment in the department. What we intend to do is to have the implementation plan approved and also implement the strategic considerations as contained in the strategic framework. We are also going to be focusing on relevant capacity building interventions, and we are also currently conducting gender proofing and auditing. Of the current programs of drugs, and the intention of that is really to check to what extent have we been able to increase the participation of women in the different sectors, in the sectors of the department, and also to check the beneficiary status of women within these programs, and to what extent have we been able to empower them to a level where they are able to function independently. The fourth element is the implementation of the AIDA turnaround strategy, and the main focus of this one will really be to focus on policies and strategies that need to be developed to ensure that the sense of coherence between your national office and the regional offices. We have to focus on systems to make sure that we have accurate information and relevant information at hand to deliver to Parliament and the Minister of the PC. And also we'll be looking at process re-engineering to streamline the way we're doing business as well. Around youth development, we have submitted business plans to the Deputy President, Office of the Deputy President around youth development. And we are focusing on job creation, skills development, social cohesion. And the areas that we'll be focusing on is sanitation, is working for water. We are going to be leveraging those programs within the department. Around transformation, processing, we'll be focusing on enterprise development already. The Transformation Director is working with the DDG for infrastructure around the dual gem. We've got socio-economic development plans around that project, where we have women and youth participating and also opportunities for enterprise development and job creation. Also, to increase the participation of women and youth, and also make sure that there's tools for monitoring and evaluation in terms of the progress we're making in the area of transformation. Monitoring and evaluation is an area that we intend to focus on. We intend to develop the monitoring and evaluation system and implement the system to facilitate the assessment of progress for delivering all the areas of the department. And this aspect will be located in the office of the Chief Operating Officer. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Honourable Minister, Honourable Members. I'm going to take you on a high-level thumbnail sketch of the budget which has been set aside to deal with the strategic plan and the activities of the department for the MTF period. As I must indicate, it's a high-level thumbnail sketch. I'm going to refer to the E&E document, which was tabled by the Minister of Finance, in particular pages 761 to page 792. I'll just touch on those and then, of course, relate that back to the strategic plan. Honourable Chair, I must just also indicate at this stage that while DDG Corporate Services has touched on the gender issue, that our budget isn't yet structured with regard to, if you could put it as a gender responsive budget. And that's an area which we will have to look at in terms of putting together the budget for 2008 onwards. Because we can't pull out a specific gender focus out of the budget, although there's an item I'll come to which relates to gender. And just next slide, please. Just in terms of the allocation for the year, it's a total allocation of 5.306 billion, which represents a 646 million increase over the previous year, 13.8%. And you'll find those numbers which I've indicated there, the breakdown on page 764 of the NE and also in the strategic plan. And I will touch on those numbers, particularly running through admin 502 million, water resources 2.43 billion, water services 1.913, and forestry 460 million. Next slide, please. I just indicate on this slide the breakdown of the budget by program, and also just indicate that a fair slice of the budget, 1.347 million, goes towards augmentation of the trading accounts, and I will talk more to that when I deal with the water resources management components. Next slide. If you just look at that budget in terms of the percentage that goes to the programs, 9% of the budget goes towards administration, and that includes finance, 9% to forestry, 36% to water services and 46% to water resources. Water resources is quite a large chunk because of the investment into large infrastructure over the next couple of years. The next slide just indicates at a high level the breakdown of the budget in terms of the main economic classifications from current payments, which is received compensation of employees, goods and services, and then transfers and subsidies. The issues relating to transfers and subsidies is quite important in that any movements from transfers and subsidies to any of the other economic classifications can't be done without the sanction of National Treasury. Next slide. If you look at that then in terms of the breakdown, 38% of the budget relates to transfers and subsidies. Included in that 38% would be the transfers which goes to local authorities in terms of the water services operating aspects, and also the transfers to the infrastructure branch in terms of the trading operation. If you just look at that, just stay on that slide if you don't mind. If you just go back to that previous slide. And then with regard to the capital expenditure, in terms of economic infrastructure, $750 million, and you'll find that breakdown on page 67 of the strategic plan. And then social infrastructure is expenditure in the order of $455 million. I show $470 there, but the correct figure is $455 million. We then go to the next slide, which is on administration. Question might be raised as to why there's a decrease in administration budget year on year from 0607 to 0708. Principally, the reason for this is that in 0607 there was 72 odd million that came into the budget as a result of the adjustment appropriation to cover rollovers for the once-off staff costs related to the transfer of staff to local authorities. So while we have that rollover, if you take that out, there is actually a real increase in the overall budget. And the increase is related to property management, which is a budget set aside for us to cover the costs of our property supplied to us through public works. There's also a provision made for the Learning Academy, 20 million rand in the 708 financial year onwards. And then we've made provision for the gender office and then also provision for restructuring. That's the next slide. If you look at that by economic classification, 64% of the admin budget goes to goods and services, 32% to employees, and then capital assets 4%, which relates really to the acquisition of computer equipment. Next slide. Skip that one. And I've already indicated, I do in the slides indicate the expenditure trends, but I've already covered that relating to the decrease as a result of the money that was previously set aside for us for staff costs, the Learning Academy, the Agenda Office, and also restructuring. Going on then to Water Resources Management, Madam Chair. On to the next slide, please. The numbers which I put up there are reflected on page 768 of the EME, and you'll see them also reflected in the strategic plan on page 48. Total budget of 2.430 million set aside for water resources management during the 07-08 financial year. Just also to note that there's in terms of the budget structure, there's a new sub-programming that's been introduced this year, and it's the one there indicated as infrastructure development and rehabilitation. That's an attempt to ring-fence the activities of the branch infrastructure in preparation for the agency activities. And much of the budget that is indicated on that particular line item goes as a transfer payment into the trading account. If you look at water resources support, there was a decrease of 39 million there, but a an increase under sustainable supply, and that's really a movement of funds from water resources support for the Working for Water program. If you could also just take note that under sustainable supply, both the Working for Water program and Working on Fire are included in there. And also note that under African cooperation, there's been a significant increase year on year, and that's really to make provision for the Zaragoza exhibition. Next slide. If you look at that breakdown by economic classification, biggest portion of the budget goes towards transfers and subsidies, 57%, and that's as a result of the capital program and transfers to the trading account, 14% to compensation of employees, and then 28% to goods and services. Next slide. I've already indicated, I won't read through those next slides, I've already indicated the reasons for the increase around the infrastructure development, in particular it's around the rehabilitation of dams and the WIP project which will come into full stream during the current year. Next slide, please. Next one as well. Let's go to water services. Just under the water services program, Madam Chair, the numbers, the budget allocation of 1.913 million is set out on page 773 of the estimates of national expenditure, and you'll find those numbers reflected also on page 55 of the strategic plan. To note that the two items, provisioning services, the first sub-program, and water and sanitation services, there's quite a significant increase from a 607 through to a 708 onwards, and that's as a result of the new allocations that have been made for bulk infrastructure and the water supply and sanitation to schools and clinics. If you go to the bottom of that table, under operation of water services in the outer year, you'll see that that budget decreases from this year at 1.168 down to 1.119. The reason for that is in the 2009-10 year, that's the first year where the subsidy to local governments breaks out and the funds get transferred or get consolidated into the equitable share. If you look at the next slide, if you look at the breakdown of that in terms of economic classification, once again, you'll see quite a large portion of the budget, 34%, which goes to transfers and subsidies, and that relates to the bulk infrastructure project and also the operation of water services, where those funds are intended for local authorities who are implementing infrastructure programs and or operating infrastructure which has been transferred from the department. And you'll find that breakdown on page 774. In terms of the expenditure trends, I've already covered those points in the in my analysis of the schedule on the previous slide. Next slide, next one as well. Forestry. Forestry represents, as with admin, a very small portion of our budget at present, only representing 9% of the total budget. Next slide. You will see that in terms of the allocations for this year, there's a significant increase in the forestry oversight from 16 million in the previous year up to 59 million. That's to cover for the 40 million for the forest charter. And you might wonder why that hasn't been carried through into the next financial years. It's our intention to deal with that increase in the baseline when we do our submission to National Treasury for the 08 financial year. We did make application to National Treasury in the past financial year, but it wasn't acceded to, and through a budget reprioritization process, we moved 40 million into forest oversight to be able to cover the forest charter. The numbers, as you see them on that particular page, you will find on the ENE on page 779 and the strat plan on page 65. Another area where there's a significant change is around sustainable forest management. The reason being, and I've I've presented this point before you at your committee, Madam Chair, is that annually we approach National Treasury for them to transfer to us through the adjustment estimate the income that is generated through the sale of forest products, and that is transferred to the department on an annual basis. Just going then onto the breakdown by economic classification, you'll see there quite a significant change in the economic classification, particularly around compensation of employees, where under the forest budget, we take 9% of the total budget, 61% of that budget goes to compensation of employees, and that's largely because of the numbers of staff employed in the category B's and C's, and on the information that I'm provided is that our staffing levels there are much higher than the industry norm. But that's an issue which, it's a historical issue which we've had to deal with in the budget. Madam Chair, you just pointed out to me that the slides which folks have in front of them, particularly those where on my presentation show it's a green background, are very poorly printed. I must apologize for that. I think it was a problem with the printer, because mine is quite clear, the one I'm reading from. So I'll make arrangements that we circulate a clearer copy. My apologies for that. In terms of the expenditure trends on forestry, I've already covered that in my explanation to the increases, a really significant increase around the charter. But that charter funding will have to be secured for the subsequent two outer years as well. Next slide. Madam Chair, one part of our allocation which doesn't come out clearly in the estimate for national expenditure, but is covered very succinctly in the allocation letter from National Treasury, is the funds that are provided to the department as so-called earmarked funds. And if you have a look at that table there, you'll see there's a budget of $2.2 billion of our budget is set aside for earmarked funds, which we can't use for any other purposes. And that ranges from the devolution of funds for public works for our properties, working for water, working on fire, the work dam, water services operating subsidy, the water and sanitation to schools and clinics, the health infrastructure, and the conditional grant to local government. So those funds are earmarked, and we can't use that for any other purposes. When you look at that in relation to our total budget, you'll see that 31% of the department's budget relates to earmarked funds. And that does put some restrictions on us in terms of the way we can move funds around. And we would only be able to make any movements there with the sanction of National Treasury. On the water trading account, Madam Chair, which is also included in the estimates of national expenditure, under from pages what's that one? On pages 782 to 783, there are three components of the trading account. Essentially, component one, the integrated water resources management component, is intended to fund the implementation of water resources management activities, and that relates really to the catchment management activities. While the CMAs haven't been established, it would be the proto-CMA responsibilities within the department. Next slide, please. The second component is the integrated systems component that ensures that water is transferred from water-rich areas to areas where locally available water resources cannot be met. So that covers our major transfer schemes, water from the Lesotho, the transfer schemes from the from KZN into Gauteng, and of course from the Orange River down into the Sundays down into the Eastern Cape. The third component is the bulk water supply component, and revenue in that component is earned through sales of water from standalone water schemes And this would essentially be those schemes which provide water to water user associations, and some of the infrastructure is managed on our behalf by those water user associations. Next slide. This next one. If you then look at the numbers, which you will find in the budget, the total revenue for the coming year, we anticipate is 2.815 billion. Transfer payments, 1.343. That's the money coming in from the main account into the trading account, giving us a total revenue on the trading account of 4.195 billion, and our expenses in the order of 3.061. So we are projecting this year for a surplus of 718 million. But that depends, Madam Chair, very largely on the on our ability to actually collect that, those funds. If you have a look at the previous year, we had projected the 508. We only have only just closed off the books for the previous financial year. And once we present our annual financial statements to this committee, that number of 508, which we projected last year, could very well change in terms of the real figures. And we'll have to have a look, see how we deal with the surplus going forward. That surplus would, under normal circumstances, be used to fund the rehabilitation and recapitalization of our major infrastructure. Madam Chair, that's a lot from my side. Thank you very much.
As one goes through the presentation, the chairperson, and we get towards the end, especially the agenda issues and so on, there's a number of things, very good things that have been implemented. It's very clear that it has been designed and implemented so it is in place. Right? But if one looks at the beginning of the presentation, I have to have a hard copy here. There's this age-old problem that we always have been faced with in this department, and that is the question of capacity. Always been here. And many good things are being done now in terms of the presentation that we can see to begin to deal with that. But just that those highly priced skills that we are now beginning to bring into the department, such as training scientists, training forestry scientists, training engineering technicians, training finance, interns, and so on. Yeah? Those are always the skills that we need, so it's a good thing that they did. It would appear to be rather open-ended. It would have been great if you could say, those people are there, that's when they come in, and that's when we see the the program completed, and that's the impact that it will then have on the problem of care skills in the department. So that we can easily monitor, look at it, and then easily also come back to the, for you to come back to the portfolio committee to say, okay now, this is where we say we would complete it all. We are there now, and if there were weaknesses and things happened along the way, it's much easier to then say these are the things that happened along the way that stopped us from actually moving forward. But then the committee can also then see clearly the road ahead and to how far, what kind of impact all these trainees and interns are going to have on the problem of capacity in the department. Thank you, Stephen.
relationship, I have got some concerns, and I would like to have clarification so far as the Director General's presentation is concerned. I would like to know exactly what plans and actions that GAP put in place for rural people, specifically people who, by their actions, demonstrate the ability to utilize and then available to them. On page 2, I see that the department will continue to assist municipalities in planning, operation and maintenance of infrastructure to ensure the sustainability of water services. I would like to know exactly how this is a statement, a skeleton, and they see they're in a position to put some flesh in it. On page 3, they are speaking about we will continue to plan the development of our water resources to support economic growth and to provide water for basic needs. What plans for rural communities? Now, when we come to water services, on page 5, the department here speaks of experience, saying that they have now the experience how we now know we need to accelerate the services delivery in order to meet our water and sanitation targets. There's a margin. So this actually tells me that for the last 12 years, the Revenue Department did not know anything about it. It is now that they are now aware of it. And exactly, so that we have an explanation about it. And then the GPLP on the same slide. How are they going to implement things in provinces where they do not have an MEC for water affairs? Would is it not convenient for them to provide a position for an MEC for water affairs in order to smooth the chain of responsibility and accountability? And then, there's quite a lot, but let me just stop there. If I have another round, I will continue to ask questions.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Fabiani has actually touched slightly on what I was going to ask. In as far as I wanted to know how the strategic plan and the budget of the department are actually going to address real growth. Mrs. Ngeli touched on gender particularly, and I'm also pleased to hear Mr. Balder talk about gender budgeting. And I'm sure this is because the Minister is a woman, and I know she's very committed to gender issues in the department. So I'm very pleased to hear there's reference made to gender budgeting and women's organisations and that sort of thing. But as far as the budget and the strategic plan are concerned, and the growth, the real growth issues, how do they address job creation, for example, in rural communities, particularly for women? You know, we're pleased to hear about your learning academy and your recruits. can you give us a breakdown of sort of how many of those new recruits you have in scientific fields, the financial people, etc., are women, and are they from rural areas? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to know from Ms. Angela, she is on the youth development. I just want to find out whether you have made certain that the information that you have given regarding the youth, the job creation, skills development, whether the information went to the relevant structures. And if it is existing, what you have told us, how far and how many youth have you achieved so far? Minister, on the delivery of water, you know, it's so important to have water delivered. I mean, all of us want that, but I don't think it is mostly about quantity, but quality also is very important. When one is down there at home, when water is delivered, municipality or local government gets all the credit. But when there's a problem with water like we experience in our different constituencies, then whoever you approach and ask what's happening, they all refer you to national. They say, no, water is at national. We don't have... Now, what one will want to know is that your regionals or your district, are you putting on a well-equipped monitoring system that gives you the right and the right information regarding the quality of water that is being delivered on the ground? And Trevor, on the strategic plan of the department, I see that you have given us well and very good plans, but one is worried that there's no specific country, especially for 2007 and 8 targets. No month is given as to estimate or projected time that a particular output could be measured, implemented, and finalized. Could you please expand on that? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. To DDG Mela, it's around the 70 financing channels. If you want to know how they have been spread, the 70 of them. And to the DDG, has the department encountered any problems, that is now with water service problems or tensions within the water service program in terms of disbursement of big funds? We're looking at around the within the division of having.
Output that you earmarked in 2006 and 2007. So what
what extent were you able to achieve this output of the financial year? And what were the challenges that you experienced during that financial year?
But I think also other things because of the focus of development, the program around what women and the economic development, there would be more related in that area because of the white women. There are any issues there, I would cover them. On the other mind, I don't think it's a special change in the department. I finally realized now. I think the concept is that we have learned so many good lessons that enable us to accelerate. And Sienza mind, it is not Sienza mind, it is not Sienza. It's Sienza mind. We are doing it now, not tomorrow, now. Sienza mind. And it's to indicate the acceleration that we are about to undertake in the implementation of the program based on lessons learned. But the other areas that we can be able to answer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll end up with the areas where we're able to make a number of achievements, and my colleagues in their own areas of responsibility will top up. The first question I would like to respond to has to do with the question of capacity and why this program looks open-ended. In other words, when are we going to see the end of this program of the Learning Academy? I think what we've done is to design it in an open-ended way. We don't think the issue of skill shortage and capacity building, we're going to be able to address it now, and I'll give an example just now. What we need to do, I think, is to put in time frames to say in year one, this is what we like in year two, so that members can monitor us and see whether are we achieving those numbers. And then we'll measure the impact maybe after 2 years, maybe 3 years, and see over a 5 year period whether we're covering any ground. Let me explain why it has to be open ended. We think like people who are working in the aviation industry. We can sit back and bemoan the fact that many of our high specialist people get imposed by the private sector, by other programs of government such as 2010. We can do that. We can sit back and bemoan the fact that what can we do and be helpless about it. But we can also utilize it to our advantage and ensure that anybody who goes out there would be of high quality because they would have gone past the Department of Water and Forestry. So in a short term, it's actually quite disruptive that people are poached from the Department of Water and Forestry. But over a long term, if everybody who is being poached would have come through the Department of Water and Forestry, then we ensure that those people are of high quality. In a long term, it's actually a benefit for the country. So instead of us reacting to this, we are now moving ahead and generating these skills and ensure that people know that in future there will be sufficient supply of skills in these high skilled areas, and that DWAP would have been responsible to ensure that we have sufficient. So we work with specialist training institutions, with other organizations. Members might be aware that Dr. Ramsey, for instance, the other time, said there was an organization which They have established of identifying students who are doing engineering and providing furthering. We immediately grabbed her and said, well, we are in this area, can we work together? So we need to be open-ended about it. But I think we need to measure this every year so that maybe after 5 years we can see whether what we have produced has had a positive effect. We are convinced that it will certainly have a positive effect. The aspect of rural people utilizing drought facilities like dams. In my input, I would have made reference to the fact that we promote the involvement of local government in water resource management. And the purpose of promoting that is to ensure that there are a number of areas where we think local government could already add value to the utilization of those facilities. But we think they can derive value themselves too. We've had a number of deaths in a number of our facilities for them. We actually think that aspect of safety may actually be effectively grounded with local government. But we also think that local government can utilize the dam to generate income for themselves, to contribute to local economic development. There's no reason why they shouldn't take advantage of the existing facility and utilize it, for instance, either as transport or any other benefit that can be derived from the including tourism and the like. So we hope that when we work with municipalities, that municipalities will be able to communicate those opportunities and ensure that they ground those opportunities within their integrated development plan so that they can be actualized. Otherwise, they will only be utilized by small sections of the communities which are aware of those facilities, as is happening currently. So, we believe that if we use that approach, it will be a much more structured approach, because once it is grounded in the integrated development plan of municipalities, then members will be able to say, but it is in your plan, so why are you not utilizing it? But we too can ensure that when we direct our support to municipalities, we do it in a structured way, in a way that it can also be measured. But we also work closely with municipalities in their development of water service development plans. So within an IDP, we insist on having a chapter that deals with water. And therefore, we don't leave them to struggle alone and say, but where are we going to get these plans about water? We actually work with them to develop those development plans which are water-focused, including forests, incidentally. What plans we have of economic growth, particularly for rural people, as earlier on said, we use the experiences of the past in the design of the programs and projects of the future. For instance, before the Bare Water Project, we had learned some lessons from the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. We incorporated those lessons in the design of the Bare Water Project. We took the lessons that we got from the Bare Water Project and incorporated those into the design of the Diwop Dam. And I would have indicated earlier on that that project is going to service quite a number of the platinum mines at that dam. But not only that. So the servicing of those platinum mines, the mines themselves will be generating a great number of jobs. But you know, when you build a dam of that magnitude, part of the other benefits are set in terms of the people who are residing around there, they get jobs on building the dam itself. And building the dam includes also sometimes the diversion of the roads, as is the case there. So you have this aspect. But you also have to house the people are going to be working on site there. Those structures we shall actually leave behind for the municipality. But you also have the aspect of procurement. You would involve local business people in securing some of the materials that are going to be utilized. So there are quite a number of activities that are related to that. But I think the major one is just the fact of bringing water to the doorstep of the people. There are 800 people are going to be infected upon by just killing the people. 800,000 people. Did I say 800 million?
800,000.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. 800,000 people are going to be infected upon. Now, in order to ensure that that is actualized, we have involved the district municipalities, as I said earlier on, in the design such that by the time the dam is ready, that the infrastructure of supplying that water is also at the same time utilized. The minister has already spoken to Sierra Mine. Sierra Mine is an acceleration tool, as the minister has said. If we need to accelerate, it means we have to do certain things differently. In order to be able to do certain things differently without compromising the norms and standards of the department, we have had to look at it. And one example would be, for instance, the period it takes to approve licenses. We can actually try and see whether can we shorten the period without compromising the norms and standards. And sometimes maybe the approval of various project plan. If it takes a month or two or three, we can begin to see whether can we assist the municipality to design those plans much quicker, but also ensure that the approval process is actually much quicker without compromising the quality of the design themselves. This one the minister should have answered. But because she answered mine, I'll answer her. I think we do work with provincial departments of local government, and we think we have an effective relationship. And of course, that would not have been possible if we were not working through organizations such as SALDA. And the logic is basically that these are municipalities, and because they are municipalities, the provincial department of local government is responsible for municipalities and all their areas. For instance, municipalities also do not have MDCs for electricity, but it is their function, in which case the provincial department of local government tends to be the immediate vehicle which we utilize. And so far, we think that relationship has been excellent. It's not only them, of course. You also do have MDCs for agriculture who have a direct interest in the utilization of the drug facilities. But the minister, through the policy structure, maybe at some point may engage himself in exploring whether there's a need for an MEC for water affairs and forestry. I think I've touched on this aspect of real growth and how is a strategic plan and budget create jobs. You know, our bias is, I indicated in my presentation right at the beginning that in all the work that we do, read gender equity in everything that we do. In all these things I counted earlier on, job opportunities, enterprise opportunities, and the like, local government is just as aligned to those things, and provincial government as well, as we are. Therefore, when we plan with them, they say, what about women? What about the youth? What about? So all of those get factored into it. As and when the need arises, we can actually bring the breakdown of those activities. And no one will look at the breakdown of the learning academy. We can't agree more with the aspect of quality, the quality of drinking water. I mean, one of the added things which we will have, and I made just some short references before, the honorable members might know that within the Department of Health, Provincial Department of Health, there are environmental health workers or health officers. Now, those are also responsible for drinking water quality. There is no reason why we shouldn't utilize them to collect samples and utilize the facilities that the water board has at the laboratories in order to test the quality of the water. And see, the water board are interested in the quality of the water even beyond when that water leaves the reservoir of the municipality towards the community. However, sometimes because of capacity, they would only do random testing. But it is in their interest to continuously know that the water that comes out of the test of people are clean, because if they are not, if there are problems, and the honorable member is correct, the DWAP will be called upon and say, the quality of the water is bad. So we will first call on the water board and say, did you hear that they say the quality of the water is bad? Because we have to ensure that the water that actually comes out of the tank are of a high quality. There has been tension. There has been some discomfort regarding the disbursement of NIC funds, and Dora, we've had some discomfort because you see, we at one point saw the spending or the understanding of NIC funding to be an area which can enable us to come to the doorsteps of municipalities and say, we recognize there's a problem here, there's understanding. Can we help? Or how can we help? I think that was misunderstood by and large to mean that we are now asking municipalities who are already burdened by report writing, subjecting them to another report writing. So that was written into DORA, and we have had some uncomfortable discussions to try and get to straighten up that understanding. But the understanding was not so much to burden municipalities to write additional reports, but it was simply a tool to say, we notice that we are understanding, particularly in the area of water and sanitation, how can we help? But other than that, I think other tensions are more to do with, are the allocations fair? Do the allocations favor rural municipalities, or do they favor urban municipalities? But those are ongoing debates that Treasury, SALGA, ourselves, GPLG, are continuously involved in. Look, part of the challenges, I think one of the areas which we certainly we've increased the number of people who receive potable water, potable drinking water. We've increased the number of people who receive sanitation. Have we sufficiently achieved that? In other words, if we had planned that 300,000 people will receive sanitation facilities, have we achieved that? Or did we overachieve and the like? No, we didn't achieve it to that level. And part of the difficulty, of course, has been what we are all aware of, which have to do with the capacity that is residing or not residing at local government level. And that's why all of us are in there with all our resources, CPLG, DWAF, SALGA, Water Board, and a number of other GSAs also there, IDT is there. So all of us are in there to ensure that we build the capacity, but we also build a sustainable capacity at local government level. Therefore, the hands-on support that we have been given the responsibility for is not a long-term thing. It is an intermediate intervention. The ultimate goal is to build the capacity of local municipalities so that they are the ones who carry out the constitutional amendments. Now, I would leave it to my other colleagues just to top up on the achievements of last year. And any of them can follow the DG corporate services. You can take them.
The DG has touched on the capacity issue, but because I think the, it sounds like it's open-ended, but we do have a retention strategy, which I think the DG corporate services must talk to. But also the exciting feature of the Learning Academy, where our own engineers, technicians, the old and retiring, are going to be retained as mentors and trainers of the new people that will be coming into the department. So I think she must touch more on that. And the water for economic growth, I think we have got DDG Mbasa who can talk to that, but we also have DDG Rachel who can spell out how the implementation of the work and other projects into the future are going to achieve this. When it comes to gender and participation of women, this department has been very strong in ensuring that in the provision of water and sanitation, percentages are set aside for women, youth, and disabled people with disabilities. And those statistics are available insofar particularly as the provision of sanitation in the rural areas is concerned. And I think Tandela can talk to that as well.
Can I find out from the members if there is a second round of questions, if I'm afraid? I think it would be good if all of them answer, but that means they were eating into the time of the Eastern Text presentation, and also I'm pretty sure that the members would have wanted to ask more questions, so I wanted to combine those. And just invite the members if there are any further issues that they want to see. Let me start with Honourable from Zulin, and then to Maine, and then I've got all of you. Thank you, Tapasi. My question is that some of the problems encountered within the water sector at the split between water resources management and water supply, both legislative and institutional, and this undermines the intention of the society. There is also insufficient focus on the sustainability aspect of water resources management within the water supply sector. There is a revision process within the department in terms of the place review or of the NWA and WSA. What are some of the key aspects that the department has got fixed up in terms of review, and how will this impact on the budget allocation? And whether the department budgeted for the process of reviewing and possibly amending the above mentioned text?
I'm afraid that Honorable Bengu, I could see everyone was trying to write and didn't quite catch it. Just a little bit slower. If you can just repeat it a bit slower.
Thank you, Chair. There are some of the problems encountered within the water sector. That are the split between water resource management and water supply, both legislatively and institutionally, and this undermines the intention of integration. There is also insufficient focus on the sustainability aspect of water resources management within the supply sector, and there is a reducing process within the department in terms of legislation review or the NWA and WSA. My question is that what are some of the key aspects that the department has thus far picked up in terms of its review, and how will this impact on the budget allocation? And the other one is how has up in terms of
as the department budgeted for the process of reviewing and possibly amending the above meeting.
Thanks, Chairperson. Once the department strategic plan aligns itself to the MCEF, there's also a need to ensure that draft strategic plan, sector plan, and budget at the national, regional, and local government level are consistent with the national MCEF and the respective municipal IDPs and budgets, as well as national sector policies. Now, there does not appear to be a correlation of the amount in the budget specific output as reflected in the strategic plan. One would want to know why.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there was a government-wide monitoring and evaluation paper produced. I think I have the first copy here, and I think it's upgraded annually. And this one was publicized in September 2005. And it's prepared by the Governance and Administration Chief Directorate, the President. And what I wanted to know, but there isn't a clear indication whether the staff of the department are aware of this document, they're familiar with this document, and they familiarize themselves with the document as it's being upgraded on an annual basis. And secondly, Chair, I know this is the final round. I wanted to know, there are two very good programs in the department. One is the Working for Water one. You know, I mean, these programs. I mean, the President always speaks about it. And then later on came along the Working on Fire program. Now, we had the opportunity on a number of occasions to see these people, their training, how they train. And as a matter of fact, we saw them in Cape Town during the summer in action as well. But not just in Cape Town, also in other areas. It's very clear that they're very highly trained, they're skilled, they're dedicated, they're all very young, and very fit. But when one looks at the budget, however, the discrepancy and the imbalance between the two budgets, one for Working for Water and the one for Working on Fire, is huge, it's humongous. And I was wondering, since you have trained such a huge group of people, many more are needed. It's very clear. We saw that when the chairperson was taken up in the helicopter to see them at work. Anyway, so he probably has more to say about them than me, but I couldn't make it. I was just wondering whether you had any plans to look at that budget, the community budget, for the kind of work that they have to do, and the dangerous work. What's going to happen with this? Is it going to be expanded? Is there any idea or any plan? Because at the moment they're working as volunteers, right? To actually retain them, some of the skills, because they are retained now. What happens next, please, as far as this is concerned? Thank you, Chairperson.
I was hoping somebody was going to say something about it, because I wanted to really speak out for what we saw when we were taken on the by the helicopter when the fire prevention team was needed. So I think it will be good if the department can tell us, because the many, many, many good men and women, young men, good men and women that we saw, first of all, what they are earning is just not a living wage. Secondly, they are being dragged up because they can't survive on the money, so they have to go off. But they've got valuable skills. They've got great skills that were given to them. Their training is very good. And we think that there's a great resource that have been lost just like that. And the work that they are doing are excellent. They're sharing their lives most of the time. And we think that much more needs to be done in combination with the Extended Public Works program in that regard, because the majority of them
or within the ECWC, and we think that it's not sustainable in the manner that it's doing at the moment. And we think that those young people need to be taken into the program that the Division of Corporate Services is talking about, because it's done little skills that are there. And when we interviewed them, we asked them how many of you would like to work in the department, there were many of them. They are very excited, but there's no career plan to them. They're just there, and there's nothing we can go to the step, to that step, and that step. So at the moment, as you know, look at the volunteering, and that's where it ends. And they leave. So I think it would be good if much more could be done into that area. But I think Honourable to be honest with myself.
Thank you, I'm glad you touched on that, and the Honourable Arendt also touched on it. Just last week, I met one of my cousins who was highly trained, but is now looking for work somewhere else. Is it not actually fair to say that the government, the department is training people, but when they are now trained, fail to offer them services, then they go out with the skills? I would rather see, I'd like to see the department absorbing those people who are skilled at the government expense. For them to be given permanent jobs. Another thing, Honorable Chair, I'd like to see the Honorable Minister of Provincial and Local Government having a say to this committee, because the people who are suffering are in the province and are in the rural areas. I would like to hear his or her commitment as far as the provision is concerned. The other one, I'm concerned about SAGA. I don't know exactly what role SAGA plays, but I believe that SAGA is being financed. And in the rural areas, SAGA seems to be invisible. I want to know exactly what the role that SAGA play, and who is actually supervising the services of SAGA. Okay, about transformation. It's good to have transformation, but to have transformation for transformation's sake is dangerous. Because I believe there are so many skilled people who left the department because of transformation, only to return as consultants and actually take a lot of money from the government. I think I will have to stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Just a specific question on Program 3, Water Services. Under African participation, there's almost over 150% increase in the budget. And while the notes in the E&E on page 773 say African participation promotes and supports policies to achieve the UN Millennium Goals, Development Goals in Africa, I'd just like to know specifically why such a huge increase and what's it for. Thank you.
From my side, I think the example that was given on working for fire, I think it needs to be broadened to all the different programs. Working for fire, working for water, all of them we have experienced across the world. It's the same difficulty. Fire more than the water one, because working for water we think has been absorbed a little bit more than the working for fire one. But I think what we are saying is that a little bit more with regard to the department and maybe the Department of Public Works on the extent of the public works program in this regard. The other question that I
I wanted to ask is something that was touched on a little bit. I think that we spoke earlier on about the responsibilities that can and should evolve to municipalities with certain responsibilities. But maybe if further elaboration can be given in instances where, although local governments, in most instances, they have a really narrow focus when it comes to water resource management. In many instances, when they get oversight, as the member said, as you know, the Department of Water Resources and Forestry, not necessarily for them. In most instances, we see that there aren't much plans when it comes to the water resource management framework when it comes to the municipalities themselves. And so we would want to know whether there has been further engagement other than the water summit that the department had, I think a year or two ago, when some of these issues were raised, whether the department has now moved towards a policy framework at least, following up from those issues that were raised. Because if we say that is what the municipalities need to do, we have seen where there are proper frameworks to see more action than you know, commitment through those kind of conferences. And then some of the problems that we've seen that encountered within the water sector are in many instances split between supply and management. And in most instances, the institutions, it appears that it undermines the intentions of what the department spoke about again a year or two or three ago about integration. Is there sufficient attention being given to the sustainability aspect of water resource management within the supply sector themselves? Because as the department doesn't have a function that you said you are moving away more and more, we see that that focus is becoming more and more in what the department refers to as a regulatory function that they now have. And I think it would be good if the department tells us, like you have told us last year, the year before, this is the role that we have now. If we unpack what the department would want to be achieved in the budget year insofar as the regulatory role is concerned, whether it's a framework for municipalities, whether in water quality that is what's going to be done, whether in forestry, these are the achievables, and so on and so on. So that, correctly so, as they are themselves down there at the local level, maybe something that we can say at the end of the year, the sector leader has been able to produce the following, and when they hit the ground, then at least we can say that the following things have been achieved in this one. Because I think we are quite interested to see how the department is moving with regards to the role that they say that they have now, how more and more of those functions does appear in the public eye a little bit more. With regards to the question of boundaries, when we have the water board before us, of course, and some of the other institutions, this issue does come up quite a bit, this mismatch of boundaries. We're not asking that the department follow the constitutional boundaries, if I can call it like that, at the moment, but I think what we are interested in is particularly where we have all these struggling that are going on, how, what kind of attention are being given with regards to managing these different areas, and how in the budget and the program that you are giving to us, that we are starting to look into these kind of areas, so that the outcome of that is in such a way that says, like what Africa has said, we now have municipalities everywhere, these are the things that we want to achieve. In this instance, is there a view in the department that with a mismatch that are there, and the fact that water doesn't follow any boundaries, it's a clear space to do that when the rainfalls are to the sky, it doesn't dropped in a particular area on your brain everywhere sometimes. Is there a plan at least with regards to that? We're asking this because it was quite a key feature in the submissions of the water board on this area. And we think that will help if we start talking about all the institutions that are there, all these action and management agencies and so on and so on and so on. We know it's a big issue, we know some of them are raising quite a bit of quite a lot of high blood pressure. But nevertheless, there's a program that needs to be attended to in the country, and I think it's in that regard that we are asking that. Of course, the role of what regions are the central into all of that, and how do we locate the discussion within all of those things. There are these and many questions, of course, but with 42-12, that we at the same time find out before we just get back to the department again. Do we have the Minister for Eastern Cape here? Do we have the new one from the Eastern Cape here? Just one person. No. From the DEC office. Oh, there at the back. Back to the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to add a few points on the job creation and poverty alleviation within the water services delivery environment. First of all, to say, if you look at the strat plan, we have changed the figures in terms of the number of people we are supposed to serve per annum. That is because we realize that we have to double our efforts to meet the target. Now, to be able to do that, to upscale service delivery, we'll have to look at very innovative ways of building the capacity, first of all, at community level. And that actually talks to the initiatives that we are driving, where we are training communities. For instance, we have a job creation program on sanitation delivery, where we're working together with the CETA, the Job Creation Trust, and all the organizations that the DG Corporate Services has outlined in her response to, first of all, train small contractors to build their skills to make sure that they get accredited training that they can use in delivery of sanitation. It has been a very successful program. It's working very well in two provinces, namely Free State and Alfred Nzo in the Northern Cape. We also have we have started training for Masubambani 3. Chairperson, we have had first two phases of Masubambani. And with Masubambani 3, we will be focusing on water for economic growth and development. And basically what we say is, as we are currently looking at just providing basic water, we also need to look at other uses that water can be put into, for instance, food gardening, water for stocking, for stock. Those small activities that will not require major infrastructure development. So we have talked about the Working for Water program, and may I also say this is one of the programs that the department has submitted to the presidency, where we were required to submit programs, five programs, that would have life-changing impact in terms of the standard of living for poor communities. Working for Water, Working on Fire is one of those programs. It's because we realize the potential of the program. What we are doing currently is to look at how we can improve the program, how we can improve its effectiveness, how it can create more jobs. And I think the biggest challenge is creating sustainable jobs, unlike the case is currently where we're just getting people getting employment over a limited period of time. So we're looking at secondary industries. We should have programs where there's a production of furniture, coffins, all sorts of things that can be built using the products that come from the program. So there are definitely means. I can assure the chair that there are means of improving Working for Water and Working on Fire. We have noted the recommendations that were made by the chair in that regard. Monitoring and evaluation. We are working closely with the Department of Local Government. They have started a program of building monitoring and evaluation in the provinces. And as a department, we are working closely with them. But this question of monitoring and evaluation also talks to the question, another question that was raised, whether we do have effective monitoring systems in the provinces, not only to monitor the quality of service, but also to monitor whether our regional offices are doing what they are supposed to be doing. That speaks to the capacity that DDG Corporate Services talked to, the upgrading of the regional offices that the DGs also talked to, where we are building the capacity, not only building the capacity, but elevating the status of the regional office. But we also realize that we do not have sufficient information, reliable information on progress that is being made in the provinces. So we are establishing monitoring and evaluation units in each province that will be looking at the KPIs that are very important. KPIs that speak to, first of all, how many people are receiving service, how many women are employed, how many jobs are created. And by creating these KPIs, we're also raising awareness on the part of the municipalities that they need to look at the other objectives of poverty alleviation and job creation as they are doing their job. Chairperson, I would like to stop them. Trevor has just reminded me about the alignment between water services and water resources. Yes, indeed, this has been a weakness up to now, but unfortunately, there are mechanisms in place that we have put. The municipality's responsibility, Chair, with regards to water resources would speak to functions like water conservation, which, as you know, is a program that has just been launched that is going to be getting momentum in terms of what you want to attain. But also drinking water quality management is also one of those. From the summits that we had, Chair, we had the reports. But more importantly, in the last year, we have been working with the provinces to develop water services development, water sector development plans. This is a major move. Initially, the summits were focusing just on water services delivery, but now we're moving towards an integration between water services and water resources. And more importantly, we're looking at how, as a department, we can support the provinces in achieving their water, provincial growth and development initiatives. So there is definitely something that has been done. In Masibamba next year, we'll be focusing on implementing the water sector development plans.
Chair, just as an address to the budget-related issues, the one was from Honourable Member, from Honourable Member Arinsa with regard to working on fire. Just to point out that the working on fire allocation in our budget relates to the land-based activities. There's also a 20 million rand allocation which sits on the DPLG budget for the aerial activities. So it is spread across two budgets. And there is also collaboration on that working on fire program with the forestry sector in terms of combating fires as well. The question raised by Honourable Member Semple on the African participation, the very large increase there, bear in mind that that large increase is on the back of a very small budget. It was a budget of 300,000 rand, it's increased to 800,000. And it covers a number of programs where we hope to be able to beef up our activities in terms of capacity building of NGOs to meet the Millennium Development Goals, best practice promotion, the training of technicians and engineers, and of course partnerships in accelerating the delivery of the MDGs as well. Thanks, Madam Chair.
I'm
going to
complete
this to you now. Ian, thank you. Can I just ask one of the acting GDG Harrison to just say something about the integrated water resource management, the quality of water as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe just to respond to the whole issue around sustainability aspects of water resources and water management, and also how we've taken this forward after the water sector intervention. Our minister has just continued to follow up on the water conservation and demand management. We've had a follow-up launch in March, and he will pick up that within our strategic plan for the financial year 7 and 8. There's quite a great deal of emphasis on water conservation and demand management with respect to sustainable supply of water resources. Madam Chair, I'd also like to quickly respond with regards to the issue on gender mainstreaming, also within this particular field. It is indeed with pleasure, Madam Chair, that we can report since the National Water Act was enacted, a new science has been developed with regards to determining methodologies for water resource quality. And I can certainly report that the key drivers behind these methodologies, the first in the world that we have developed, they were all women. And the learning academy that we have now established in the department is a further attempt for us to take this progressively forward with regards to capacity. While we try to ensure that we do water allocation reform, and at the same time also ensuring that we achieve intergenerational equity, which is a challenge in itself, I think we have managed well to quite a great extent to ensure that we try and find that particular balance within the context of socioeconomic development. And the catchment management strategies that we have developed now for the catchment management agencies that we are busy establishing, already there are elements at the content of those catchment management strategies that we are factoring into the water services development plans. And again, those are very strong on water conservation and demand management with regards to the sustainable development of water resources management. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Look, an earlier question which I should have responded to, maybe I got to start with it, which has to do with the achievement of the last financial year. Now, I'll just pick on you, 15 of them out of the 300 something. I think, and I'll quickly go through them without necessarily unpacking them. I think we we are firmly on the international agenda, whether it be within SADC, whether it be within NEPAD, or within the multilateral forum. So South Africa is certainly being taken seriously, and their views are being listened to carefully. And one of the latest ones has been, how are we doing with the free trade deposit? And this is in both area of water and forest.
I think we've been excellent in working with local government and providing the support that we do to such an extent that we were, and we didn't apply for it. We didn't submit our name for consideration in this program of the Department of Provincial and Local Government, but they thought it would be wrong not to acknowledge the excellent contribution from the Department of Water Affairs. So we're the only national department who got an award from the Buna Award, and I think we shall remain so. I think, you see, the work that we see coming through now with regard to the forestry charter, is most of this work was done last year. So all what is left now is the end part of it, the launching and the public consultation process on the charter itself. But all of this work was done last year. And that will also go for a project like your Dewop Dam, your Fairwater, all of those projects that I mentioned. The planning had to happen before the design. And now we're coming to the implementation phase. With the Fairwater project, we're actually coming to commissioning this year. I think we have been successful in championing the issue of water conservation and demand management, as one of my colleagues has said, and we've had successful pilots on just by reducing the pressure of water, the amount of savings that come from that.
I wanted to make a suggestion, maybe.
Yeah.
In that regard, and I'm sorry to stop you.
No problem.
We wanted to make a suggestion that the dwarf will speak to us again tomorrow. Maybe we should give you an opportunity to reflect on the blue book, if I can call it like that.
Yeah.
The 300 that you're talking about. And I think it's 400. And maybe we should end the session with Dwarf here, go for a quick break, and then we will have, as the program says, for everyone from the different heads, both from the NEC, the municipalities, and the rural support services, the civil society people, so that we have sufficient time, at least before lunchtime, to engage in that, and then the remainder of the day will be that. So I'm sorry that I had to stop you, but I think it will help if we will talk about it tomorrow. I think it's one of the things that we must say to everyone, and all the businesses and everyone else that has responded to the questions.